and we will begin to see. I'm talking about that is the 2020 vision, that we will be able to see that we are nothing without Christ Jesus. If we have not been witnessing like we should in 2018, start witnessing more in 2020. See, this is humility. This is the way to happiness. Amen. Because we'll be fulfilling the will of our Lord. Secondly, humility implies or drive us to commit our full potential to God. Amen. Somebody sort of alluded to this in Sunday school this morning. I asked the question, how many of us in here, praise God, have given God our full commitment, our full potential? I'm going to put my hand down. Praise God. Giving him everything that we have to give. Praise God. Amen. But humility will help us. It will impel or drive us to commit our full potential to God. You see, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that means happy are those who have realized their own helplessness and who have placed their complete trust in the Lord. That's why the Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, that wise man by the name of Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And he shall, not might, he shall direct our path. You see, after we have done this, I'm talking about committed our full potential to God, we will become detached from the things of this world. And we become attached to the things of God. Oh, yes, we will commit our full potential to God's will. Amen. How many of y'all remember in the 6th chapter of John's gospel, Jesus was teaching and he was healing folk. Praise God. And it came a time when the people had to eat. There was not enough food for them to eat. In fact, some of his disciples say, send them away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. But Jesus said, no, set them down.
Set them down.
And then one of the disciples, that beef, it was Philip by that came and said,
yeah.
There's one lad over here.
Yeah.
There's a lad over here who has what? 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus said, just set them down. Praise God. What am I trying to say? That young lad, praise God, he impelled and he gave his full potential for the use of God. Oh, yeah, praise God. You see, once we are willing to commit our full potential, whatever that might be, it may be our time, it may be our talents, praise God, it might be our prayer life, it might be our study of God's word, etc., etc. When we, praise God, we will be amazed at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do, praise God, when we offer our full potential to him. You see, in our hands, should I say, in the boy's hand, praise God, he barely had enough food, praise God, to feed himself. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish, praise God, barely enough to probably feed him for a day or two. But guess what? In God's hand, praise God. Look at it, praise God. In God's hand, praise God, he had enough. But the Bible says fed over 5,000. Praise God. And somebody said that was 5,000 men. And when you throw in the women and the children, praise God, it fed over 5,000. But not only did you just feed the 5,000, that was a banquet going on. Because after they had finished feeding them, they tell me that they took up, what, 12 baskets. Amen. In other words, they had some leftovers. Amen. Praise God. A lot of us today don't like to eat leftovers. But when I was coming up, you had to eat leftovers, praise God. If you cook a big pot of food today, amen. We got some of these young folk today that don't want none of that. Well, it was good enough yesterday. Well, I don't have it today. Well, you said it what they used to do in my day when I was coming up, Sister Howard. Praise God. They would set it in the refrigerator and say, now, when your right hand starts shaking hands with the, when the right side of your stomach starts shaking hands with the left side of your stomach, you're going to make up your mind and go in that refrigerator, and I won't even have to warm it up for you. Praise God. You're going to grab those leftovers.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. And so, again, we say, I want to talk, thank you, Ushers, from the subject, seducing spirits of the last days or the latter days. And so let me begin by saying that Paul is writing about last day conditions by telling us to beware of seducing or deceiving spirits. Notice said the spirit speaks expressly. Thank you, Ursus. Now the Greek word for express is retros, meaning in specific terms and plain words. In other words, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, spoke specifically and in direct terms of the last day dangers of seducing and deceiving spirits. Note another rendering of 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. And my brothers and sisters, we are living right now in the last days. The Bible scholars all agree that we are living now in the last days, and talk about we are living closer now to Christ's coming than when Paul wrote this letter. This is a period in which seducing spirits will reign. Now, the phrase latter time means a little later on, or not far in the future, and that is false teachers were to arise in the church almost immediately and continue on through our day and on to the end of time. My brothers and sisters, point is the church and genuine believers have to constantly be on guard against seducing spirits and false teachings. And so four things I want to point out as we talk from this subject, seducing spirits of latter days, and I'll let you alone. First of all, the question comes, what are seducing spirits? My brothers and sisters, to seduce means to lead astray, specifically from the path of righteousness by flattering promises, and to lead astray into evil or foolishness or a disastrous course. And let me say to us this morning that the world right now is contaminated with such evil influences. Look around and see the many followers of false religions that, and any religion that denounces Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary is a false religion. No, Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, 6 and 8. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, but even if we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. But now the question comes, and that is, what is the gospel of the good news that Paul is talking about? Well, again, let us go to Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3, where Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which I stand, and by which you are also saved." He said, "For I delivered first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. And then he was seen after his resurrection by many witnesses." Then verse 14 goes on to say that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And my brothers and sisters, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. As a matter of fact, the resurrection is what makes the gospel the good news, because it is the only way to be saved from the wrath to come. And that's why the Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? Note Romans 10:10 say, "For with the heart one believes on the righteousness, and with, the mouth confession is made unto salvation." My brothers and sisters, all I'm trying to tell you is there's no other way to be saved other than receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life by believing in his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. And that's why Jesus himself says that prior to his death, burial, and resurrection, in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." But now seducing spirit will try to trick or deceive you into believing that there are some other ways to be saved. But now these seducing spirits are the powers of the very devil, because in his kingdom there are many demons known as wicked or seducing spirits. My brothers and sisters, there are spirits everywhere, and their forces and influence are increased in these latter times. They work in cooperation with the devil, and they are so closely associated with him that sometimes they are referred to as demons or devils. Secondly, seducing spirits are antichrist spirits. 1 John 4:1-3 say, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this know the Spirit of God." He said, "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world." Now, to try means to test, to example, because these deceptive and seducing spirits are so cunning that they often deceive good people. But now our best protection against seducing powers is the God that's within us. John tells us in 1 John 4:4, he said that we have overcome them because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And thirdly, seducing spirits are unseen, invisible influences. They're powerful, unseen influence that work in the flesh and in the minds of Christians. And they're controlled by the devil himself. My brothers and sisters, in reality, the spirit through which the devil works is to discourage and turn aside all of God's people from doing that which is right. And so seducing spirits try to deceive and entice us to leave the truth of God and believe a lie. But secondly, we need to know that seducing spirits are increasing. Note Paul refers to them as a last day influence. But they were working in the early church as well. But Apostle Paul foresaw a day when their powers would be increased and their work more deadly and destructive. In other words, the text speaks of the falling away in the last days as a result of the increased power of evil. There are so many people now who started out in the church who have fallen away, who have given up on faith, who have gone following after other Christless religion. Not to mention in our day where thousands of folk are led astray every time you look around by false prophets that's preaching and teaching another gospel that is not in the Bible. Now, when you read the Bible, you can see that they worked during the time of Jesus when he was here on the earth and even in the early church. For instance, Judas was persuaded by seductive influences of the devil to betray the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira were deceived by the same power and when they claimed to give all the money and they lied to the Holy Spirit. Hymenaeus and Philetus was influenced by seducing spirit when they erred by saying that the resurrection had already passed. Many other heresies and doctrines of devils invaded the church soon after Pentecost, and these seductive powers made great inroads in the church, causing a lot of trouble and church splits. But note this morning that seducing spirits are a last-day threat to Christianity. How many believe that we're living in the last days? Yeah, we're living in the last days before the second coming of our Lord. Now, Paul again says in 2 Timothy 3:1, don't y'all take a nap, this know that in the last days perilous times will come. Now, perilous means dangerous, and there is a danger of being deceived by wicked influences because the longer the world stands, the more contaminated it becomes. And it's harder right now, and I believe everybody would agree, to live right than it was years ago. Because the devil has so many other methods and means to deceive folk. And so seducing spirits are increasing. But now the third thing we see is the cunning craftiness by which men are deceived. Because the devil doesn't force folk against their will, he deceives them. So when you hear folk using that Flip Wilson term about the devil made me do it, the devil can't make you do anything. Are y'all here with me? People are often deceived in doing evil that they believe that they're doing right. Others are deceived by following people who pervert and twist the word of God to say what they wanted to say rather than what it's really saying. The devil deceived Eve, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 3-4. And I like the Living Translation rendering of this verse. He said, but I fear that somehow your pure, undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. He goes on to say, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus Christ than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you receive, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. And a prime example of the preaching of a different Jesus is the Jesus that many of y'all know, Minister Farrakhan, the leader of the Muslim, tried to fool Christians that he believed in the same Jesus that we believe. And guess what? Many Christians have been deceived. We've had preachers who have defected Christianity and became a Muslim. But the Jesus he preaches about is just a prophet, and they don't believe in the crucifixion nor the resurrection. They believe that another person was crucified in Jesus' place. But Farrakhan will never say publicly, but he'll tell his own followers. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that the gospel is law, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, that is what makes him the Savior of all who believe. That's what makes the gospel the good news. Because again, I say, if Christ did not die and was resurrected from the dead, then our faith is useless and we are all still in our sins. So don't be fooled because many false prophets can quote the scripture because in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the devil himself quoted Psalm 91 when he tried to get Jesus to tempt God by throwing himself off of a high building. Satan told Jesus, cast yourself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But now he left out the part that he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. But Jesus said, also is written, and he quoted Deuteronomy 6 and 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And in the same way, many false prophets can quote the scripture, but they will either leave something out or take them out of context in order to deceive folk. But their beliefs are totally different, especially when it comes to the gospel and the Christ of the gospel. And so as an example of how the enemy deceived, Paul mentioned Eve, who was deceived through the deceptiveness of the serpent. Now, the devil doesn't ask us for full surrender. Brother Crowell, he doesn't ask the Christians to totally surrender unconditionally, but he works in compromise. Little by little, the enemy slips up on the Christian. Now, at first, he only asks that you neglect a little duty. You commit a little small sin of omission. Stop using your gifts or talent for the Lord. Sit back and let the others do the work. Just be a bench member, because the pastor and the others don't appreciate what you do anyway. You don't have to come to church every Sunday. Look, you need your rest. Eventually, what will happen to that person who allows seducing spirits to tempt them is that they will become a backslider, not attending church at all, or just attending every once in a while. Because the problem with this is, you shouldn't be working or serving to satisfy the pastor or the people, but to please God. Because in the end, you won't stand before the pastor, you won't stand before fellow members to give account of your stewardship, but you have to stand before God. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I stand before God, I want to hear him say, well, good, that good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so the cunning craftiness by which men are deceived is that the devil doesn't demand full surrender, but he works for compromise. Well, finally, let's consider the effects of seducing spirits on the individual Christian. My brothers and sisters, these spirits work against Christians in all of their righteous endeavors. These seducing spirits are forever alert and seek to discourage, depress, and weaken and turn you aside from the path of righteousness and the path of duty. Especially since we have internet and social media and YouTube and the like. For instance, they will persuade the Christian against going to church. These spirits will tell you you're tired and you need to rest up so you can go to work tomorrow. You can hear a preacher on the radio or watch one on the TV or the internet in your pajamas and your slippers. Now, somebody may wonder, now, what's wrong with that? They're still getting the word. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's going against the word of God. Because the word of God tells us as Christians in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some do, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Here the Christians who we are the church. This is not the church. I know somebody got messed up. This is not the church. We're the church, huh? And we're advised to come together for the purpose of exalting one another in public worship. Now, the word exalt means to encourage one another in the Christian fellowship and worship. But seducing spirit makes folk late getting ready for church. They keep folk in the bed late on Sunday morning. They're tired and they're feeling bad on Wednesday night prayer service and Bible study. And then, Lord have mercy, there are other folks who feel that they are not appreciated in the church. Seducing spirit discourage Christians from paying their tithes and giving their offering by telling the Christian that the pastor is living better than the average Christian. They say, well, look at his suits he wears, the car he drives, the house he lives in. But the devil has you focusing on the wrong thing. You are focusing on the man of God, and you need to be focusing on God, who is the giver of all gifts. Because perhaps, Lord have mercy, you could be living the same or even better if you were a good steward of your money instead of wasting your money at the bingo halls and the casinos, taking a chance on winning big money so you can live well and drive well and dress good. But what you ought to do is what the scripture tells us in Matthew 6:23. Instead of watching the pastor and watching everybody else, you ought to seek first the kingdom of God. Talking about God rule over your life and his righteousness, and God's word promises that all these things will be added unto you. Meaning you don't have to take a chance on God. All you got to do is trust him. Bottom line, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. Because has it ever occurred to anybody that maybe the reason that your friend that God is blessing the pastor is because he had been putting God first in his life, even when he had to give out of his poverty. And so now God has opened the windows up of heaven and is pouring him out a blessing, the same blessing you could be enjoying also. And so if there's anybody here, and I hope there's not, that's holding you back from giving of your tithe and offering because you think you are enriching the pastor, you're wrong. But I get a salary just like everybody else who's working. And to top it all, guess what? I got 744 credit score that enables me to get what I want without getting high interest and not having to pay cash for it. Everything I own, let's say the church didn't buy it, nor did they give me a down payment on it, but by the grace of God, I was able to afford it for myself. So don't let the devil seduce you into focusing on the pastor and focusing on other people being blessed. Instead, you need to put God first in your life. Because by you holding back your money, you're not hurting me. You're only hurting yourself. By telling God, I don't care what the word says. I don't have to give my money nor my time or service to the church. And guess what? You don't. It's your choice. God will not force us to do anything, but guess what? You will suffer the consequences of your disobedience and your lack of faith. And perhaps that's why a lot of folk are not doing too good, because you're going against the word of God. And you know, it's always the ones who are not really supporting the church. You always want to know what they're doing with the money. Well, I'm going to say like another preacher I heard. He said, every time you drive on the parking lot, you're driving on it. Every time you ride on the church van, you're riding on it. Every time you enter the sanctuary and sit on the pew, you're sitting on it. Every time, the lights and air conditioning come on, and you're seeing and feeling what the church does with the money. But not only that, seducing spirits will tell folk it costs too much money to run the church. He said to them, well, you know, you ought to keep your money. You work hard for your money. But just as soon as they fall in a financial crisis, they're looking for the church to help them out. And if the church can't do it, then they start bad-mouthing the church. Seducing spirits, I know this out. Seducing spirits break love and fellowship between Christians by causing people to talk about each other and make sly remarks that hurt fellow believers. Seducing spirits create jealousy between the members, the singers, the deacons, the preachers, choir members, and the lack. And they try and seduce the pastor in believing that the church don't lack his son, and it's time for him to move on. And so, my brothers and sisters, we all have to be aware of seducing spirits. Seducing spirits have a sly way of getting at the Christians. They'll tell you that right may be wrong, and wrong may be right. Brothers and sisters, it's probably safe to say that it's wrong. And so as I try to move to the close, none of us are exempt from the attack of seducing spirits, because they will attack even the most spiritual people. But not only will they not attack us or tempt us through the thoughts of murder, adultery, drunkenness, or anything like that, but with the smooth, persuasive influence toward neglect of duty. And that's why we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, by putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the tricks of the devil. Paul told the Galatians that if we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel that we have preached, He said, let that person be accursed. And Paul also said, and I say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. My brothers and sisters, this gospel of Christ is above and beyond any other so-called good news, because this gospel tells of God's love for humanity. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This gospel tells of the Son's love for you and for me. For the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. And so one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus hung, bled, and died